Peace. You're tuned into the Edible Activist Podcast. I am your host and favorite edible activist, Melissa L. Jones. On this show, we feed you empowering narratives and perspectives from the voices of emerging Black people and people of color in food and agriculture who are stewarding the land, healing communities, and advocating for food justice and economic power across the globe. Our rich contributions and stories exemplify the spirit of activism in their own edible way. Let's get started. I'm super excited to interview another dynamic and amazing guest. And so if you're like me, you know, I don't have a total like green thumb, but I'm a lover of the garden, right? I'm a lover of the garden. I'm a lover of music. I love the fusion. I'm a lover of all things that are delicious out of the garden, right? All of the colors, all of the, you know, vibrant things that come from the garden. And so I am thrilled to be having a conversation, which is actually a long time coming. You know, we make these amazing connections on social media with folks, and, you know, we end up just being friends over the interwebs, right? And then you get to finally meet them either virtually or in person. You're like, oh my goodness, I feel like we've been knowing each other for a very long time. But I'm super excited to bring on our guest, Kamani Nku, who you will see in just a moment, who has this really amazing platform called Gardening in Beats. And he has been gardening actually since 2010. So for what, if I'm doing my math, about 12 years. And then as he actually was gardening, this whole concept of Gardening in Beats came about, which we're going to learn more about today. So I'm sure you don't want to hear all from me. So I'm going to bring Kamani up to our stage in just a moment. Hey, Shay. And again, for you all who are just showing up to the YouTube Live, go ahead and chat. Throw in the chat where you're tuning in from, say hello. And also, you know, just think about some of the questions that you want to ask as we are doing the interview for this evening. So, all right. What up, Kamani? You're on mute.
You turned my mic off.
So. That was my fault. I've been messing up a lot lately.
What's going on? Thank you for having me tonight.
Absolutely. It's been a long time coming. You know, we tried to do this last week and, you know, the tech didn't want us to be great, but we're always going to be great regardless. And so, but aside from that, we have been meaning to connect and do this for quite some time. So I'm excited to learn more about gardening in Beats. I'm excited to learn to actually push this out to a broader audience, right? So that we can dive into your work and your path and your journey. And so definitely want to get us started. So I'm interested in learning about the origins of Gardening in Beats. Again, I know that you've been gardening. You've been in them garden plot streets since 2010. And I understand that Gardening in Beats, you know, was birthed out of your time in the garden and some of the experiences that you had as well. You are a native to this area, although I know that you're from Ethiopia, so we have to shout out your Ethiopian roots, but you are definitely a native here and so familiar with these Prince George's County
definitely
roads and streets and where you do a lot of your work. But yeah, let's go ahead and get started and talk about the origins of Gardening in Beats and how that all got started. You know, like what, because I love the name. Again, it's delicious and it's fun and it's vibrant. So
the name is me. It's definitely me. You know, so yeah, Gardening in Beats. I'm Kamani Nku. I live in Maryland, PG County. I've been gardening, like you said, for about 12 years, maybe a little bit more than 12 years. Technically, I was like Hollywood showstopper time, I say, 2010, but it might have been a little bit before then. But how I got started was I had a really great job in television. That's my background, television and film, and most people don't know that. But then I had this really cool job when I was really young, and I was, like, so reckless. You know, when we're young, we're reckless, you know what I'm saying? And so I was doing stupid stuff, making a lot of money, boatload of money. And I thought I was invisible. You know what I'm saying? I thought, I'll never get fired from this job. Plus, I was a token. The only black person for 20 years in this company. I was like, yeah, I'm a token. I'm going to stick around. That did not happen. So I ended up getting fired. And it blew my mind. You know what I'm saying? I'm 20 credit cards in debt. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, we do silly things, right, when we're young. 20 credit cards maxed out. And I got into a bout of depression, really bad depression, warnings, you know, I thought about suicide. That was crazy. But I end up had to almost lost the house, had to sell my car for $1 to my mom, had to get a lawyer, had to file bankruptcy, and things just went downhill from there. Started eating a lot of more junk food. My body started changing, started developing some issues, you know what I'm saying? So I was like, the first thing was like, okay, let me go to the doctor. So I went to the doctor, and the doctor was like, you're going to have high blood pressure, kidney disease, blah, 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 you know, high cholesterol. And I was like, I got to change that. This is not working for me. And so my mom was like, you got to start a garden. You got to start a garden. That's going to help you. That's going to be your therapist. You got to do it. I was like, Mom, I don't want to start no garden. I pay people to cut my grass. You know what I'm saying? I'm not getting out there. She said, well, just start with what you know, what you love, which is strawberries. And to be honest, those strawberries are still growing 12 years later that I started. So that was crazy. So the strawberries started growing. I got some strawberries planted to start growing. And then I was like, they're never going to produce anything, Mom. I don't know why you asked me to do this garden stuff. And then one day I went out there and it was strawberries. And then my whole spirit just started changing. You know what I'm saying? And then I was like, I got to get control of this health thing. You know, let me go back to the doctor, make sure that he wasn't lying to me. You know? So he's like, no, you're going to be sick. You're going to have hypertension and all this stuff. And I was like, give me 3 months. I'll change, please. You know, so I came back home. At that time, I'm a small guy, so I'm only 5'8", about 155, 160, right? At the time, I blew up to about 185. So I called myself a Oompa Loompa at that
point. Oh, gosh, Kamani.
So if you're short and you want 85, that's not a good look. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, okay, what can I do? And start researching more vegetables, trying to take in more vegetables, stop eating the junk food. And so eventually I started a raw food diet and started a raw food journey for 3 months. And I started growing my own stuff. Things that I normally wouldn't eat, like tomatoes. I didn't eat tomatoes early on, you know what I'm saying? And peppers. And so I started doing that. And then I went back. It was my 3 month period to go back. This is all raw food at this time, nothing cooked. And when I went back, I actually weighed 135 opposed to 155. You know what I'm saying? I went all the way down to 135. And the doctor was like, I don't even have to test your blood. Blah, blah, blah. You good. But do you think you can come and talk to people that was in your situation so they can change the way that they feel?
This is the same doctor that told you that you were going to be sick and mm-hmm. you couldn't do X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm. And I was going to take pills for the rest of my life to control my everything, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, kidney disease.
Yeah. Wow.
And he said, could you come? And I was like, what? I don't know how to do that. And so that was kind of like my first speaking engagement of how I'll change my diet and how I changed my life. And so the gardening, like, it saved my life and it also changed my life. And I went to speak and the people was blown away. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, okay, I got to keep this up. So I just started growing more stuff, researching what I can grow in the yard. And 12 years later, I grow 50% of my own food. That's how that awesome. Came about. Yeah.
So you said something a few moments ago that just tugged at my heartstrings. So when your mom encouraged you to garden, she said the garden is going to be your therapy or your therapist. And in that moment when she said that to you, was there? I know there was a bit of encouragement that you needed to start their garden, because of course you were just like, Mom, like, this ain't gonna help. But being a, you know, a black male, that's, you know, how you identify, being a black male, and there's already taboos around therapy and, you know, getting assistance and talking to people and confiding into someone, You know, did you find that even her encouragement about the garden just even more strange, you know, because it's like, okay, it's one thing to talk to someone, but then you're telling me like the garden is going to be my therapist? What?
It was definitely strange. I mean, it was a lot of resistance, you know, because I was the type that was never outside. I was never an outside person. I really like to just stay in the house, you know, and dream because, you know, I'm a TV and film and filmmaker and writer. So I'm like, I'm in the house writing plays and trying to be an actor too and want to be a news broadcaster and I'm doing all that stuff. I ain't got time to be outside. So yeah, that was strange. Yeah, that was strange. And then, I mean, she just kept going at it. And I mean, I wasn't working for like almost a year. So I had to do something or I wouldn't be here. You know what I'm saying? So it worked. You know what I'm saying? But the funny part of that, in hindsight, my mom and my dad and my grandparents were gardeners and farmers. But I never knew that because they never said anything. When we moved to Maryland, they were like, I always tell this story. They always wanted like this corporate job. When they move to Maryland, they're going to get this corporate job and they're not going to be in the field. They're not going to grow food to live. You know what I'm saying? And that was a eye-opener when my mom passed and, you know, that was on the table. And, you know, and they was like, yeah, she was a gardener. They were a gardener. Your granddad was a gardener. Your dad's parents was a gardener. They had fruit trees and everything. And it was like, nobody told us. You know what I'm saying? Because my parents wanted us to have a better life. And I guess a better life was like going to school and then getting a corporate job somewhere.
Yeah. Isn't that, that is, I feel like every story that graces this show of, you know, my parents, you know, had a garden, my great grandmother, my grandmother, you know, they had a garden and they farmed. And it's just, you know, amazing because we have, if you're blessed to have those moments where those conversations are brought up, right? Because I know I consider it a blessing because my parents talk about it all the time. But I remember coming up, Kamani, it wasn't, and you know, I wasn't into all this coming up, so I'm also going to be fair, but there weren't any intentional conversations around like how deeply connected they were to the land, like coming up at all. And so sure. I feel like we need, you know, if folks, you know, if those are, you know, are blessed to still have their elders around, their parents around to have those conversations, it's still, it's a conversation to be held around the table.
Yes, I believe so. Yeah,
I think so. It really is. And there are also there have been a handful of conversations that have graced this show as well, of individuals who they were, you know, on the field or on the land with their grandparents, and it meant nothing to them in that moment, right?
Yeah, because my great grandmother, who lived to be 116, had a farm or garden in her backyard in North Carolina, and we would go there for the summer. I wouldn't stay because I hated.
Of course, you did.
But I would definitely go out back, and they were like, she would do peanuts. I think she made a living harvesting and growing peanuts. And so we would go back there, and we'd get all the peanuts and eat all the peanuts. But then I was supposed to have stayed down there, but once I found out my parents were leaving, I jumped in that car. She was old. I always tell people, she was old when I was young.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was kind of scared of her because she was really, I felt like she was really old. I mean, and so I was kind of scared. And we still have that property. It's a historical property now in Durham, North Carolina. And they can't grow anything. Well, they can't build anything on there. Mm-hmm. But my cousin has it now. I'm not sure if she's growing anything on that land. But, yeah, she maintains it. And then the state provides money to keep the upkeep up on it.
Oh, wow. That's a whole nother conversation to get into, or a whole nother, mm-hmm. whole nother interview to get into. Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, is your family, are they from the Carolinas? Apart from,
side? Okay. My dad is from Georgia.
Okay. From Georgia. Yeah. Okay.
And
okay.
It was 17 of them. So they had the farm.
everybody had a job. Yeah. Everybody. Mm-hmm. Unless you were like my big mom who says, I ain't pick no cotton. Because my big mom would tell you that in a minute. She said, I ain't pick. My great-grandfather was a sharecropper, you know, and they were out there. But my big mom says, she said, I ain't pick no cotton. She says, I ain't do nothing. I ain't do none of that. 17? Whoa. Yeah, they were 17. Pushing them out back in the day, man.
Yes. Yeah. It's like funny. My dad and one of my cousins, like the same age. That's crazy, right?
Oh, goodness gracious. So how did the name Gardening and Beats come about?
So fast forward 12 years later, right? Got my health in check. I have no underlying conditions. I'm perfectly. I try to stay fit. You know what I'm saying? I'm past 40 now.
You look good.
Past 40. So Garden and Beats came about. The pandemic hit, of course, and I'm growing my food, and people was like, I need to do something. I want to start a garden. And it was all my friends, and I was like, okay, yeah, we could do that. You know, I got to put my mask on, or we could go virtual, and I'll show you what to do. And they was like, well, we're going to pay you. I'm like, no, you don't have to pay me, you know. This is what I love to do, you know what I'm saying? And eventually it turned into all my friends paying me money to do this, and I was like, I can turn this into a business. Maybe this has been my passion. Maybe my mom was the one who was planting the seeds and I didn't really know. You know what I'm saying? And now this is the time. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, okay, I got to do this. So I started doing this. And then I worked with a school garden where I used to work. And the lady was like, one day she hit me up. She's like, send me your Instagram and your website and your Cash App. I was like, Cash App? I don't even have a Cash App. What are you talking about? She said, yeah, because I love the work that you do at the school garden, and I know you growing your own food. You talk about it all the time. We're going to promote you on our website. And I was like, okay. And then I was like, oh, God, I don't have nothing. I just have my personal Instagram, and I was like, I can't do that. Let me come up with something. And so I was just feeling around. You know, I love gardening. I love cooking and healthy cooking, and I do a lot of recipes and changing them to healthy recipes, you know, some junk food stuff and turning it into healthy. And I love music. And I was like, well, if I do a business or I do a new Instagram, it has to be encompass of all of those elements, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just playing around, and then Gardening Beats happened. I don't know how it happened or where I got it from. It just popped out, and as soon as it popped out, I said, that's it. And then I went to Instagram. I went to, GoDaddy.com or whatever, and I went to Twitter, and I said, Gardening and Beats, and I put it in, and I was like, I'm going to get it now. If it never materialized, I still got it. And then I sent it to the young lady, and it worked for Washington Youth Garden. I'm sure you heard of them. Mm-hmm. And then I'm in school during the pandemic too, working on a master's and helping my friends do the gardening and stuff. And so I sent it to her, and then I took some pictures and sent it to her. And then the next thing I know, my phone is going off, like going crazy. And I'm like, I'm trying to study, you know what I'm saying? I was like, I can't answer my phone, but I want to answer your phone. You know how you want to answer your phone, but you're really not supposed to be doing it.
Sadly, I do.
And so then I was like, I finally got a break, and I looked and opened it up, and my Cash App was like literally filled with money from strangers from that organization. The organization and plus all their members. And then it was a note. Buy a domain, buy a website, by these apps to create content and go for it. We're behind you 100%. And I was like, I gotta do this. And Garden of Beats was born then. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my gosh.
And then it happened just like that.
To have such a dedicated group of folks behind you and rooting for you is incredible.
Yeah. And I was like, well, they said buy a domain and buy a website. And so I bought everything. I spent like about $600-$700 in there. Plus some other people that saw it through, not just them, but just some of my friends. And I ended up posting it on my personal Instagram. And I sent it to some friends, and it just started building. And I was like, I got to do this for the people. And so
Do it for the people. Come on. Yeah. Do it for the
people. Do it for the people. So, you know, I got the money and I invested in all these apps, you know, some of these apps cost, you know, so I got some of these apps. I got the domain. I got the website. It took me a minute to get the website out there, but the website is out there now, but it took me a minute. But, and then people.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt. So, speaking of doing it for the people, you know, first of all, you do a lot, Kamani, mm-hmm. Burning Beats. You are involved in a lot, and I definitely want to highlight, you know, some of the projects or allow you to highlight some of the things that you have worked on. One of which, actually, you came back from Africa not too long ago. You had a whole experience over in Africa, so I want to touch on that. But you know, being a native of Maryland, and you know where you reside in Prince George's County, where a lot of your work done is Prince George's County. Which, if people aren't familiar with, you know, what do I want to call it? Let's just say the food print or the food map in Prince George's County. It is a lot of other counties, you know, mm-hmm. or cities, you know, in the states where, you know, they are residents, you know, deal with the injustices of food and what, you know, many activists call food apartheid, right? Yeah. AKA food deserts for folks just out of convenience. And so being in this space where you navigated from, which was more so from mental health, you know, and dealing with health issues and then starting this garden. And then fast forward, you're doing something that's for the people. What do you feel like is the greatest threat when it comes to our food system or the injustices of food, specifically what you have witnessed in Prince George's County? And I ask that question because, you know, obviously I have many thoughts around it being in this space, but, you know, being as someone who's really firm on folks advocating for themselves, and then there's also the system, right?
Yes.
But so from your perspective, what do you feel like the greatest threat is when it comes to the injustice of food in communities like Prince George's County?
I would say access to food and healthy food. I mean, you can go to any 7-Eleven, not to put them out there, or any other little mom and pop store. It's usually junk food. And, you know, and I had to learn the hard way, you know what I'm saying, where I thought I was going to die, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I think it's access to food, healthy foods. There's food prices. There's world population growth. There's a lot of people in Prince George's County now. And it's like it's getting overcrowded, you know. There's climate control, you know. It's crazy. It's hot. Remember this past spring, it was really cold, and then it got hot, and now it's like a mixture of cold and hot now, and a lot of rain, you know, and we're in a good place. Some places have been 100 degrees since May.
That is very true.
Yeah.
That is very true. So you're saying the access to food. You also, you've been talking a lot, too, about inflation.
Oh, yeah.
And food costs lot. Yeah. Are those conversations that you are having with clients, customers, you know, folks in the community as you're working with them and encouraging them to start, you know, to garden, just bare minimum, you know, are you having those conversations, or is that being brought up to you? And the fear, you know, that is a thing, even for myself, you know, someone, you know, who makes, you know, has a modest living, I'm going into the store like, oh, no, one of those, please, not two.
And that I think that's the biggest part of growing your own food for people. The people who I'm working with now is families of like 4 and 5 and 6. And they was like, we want to grow our own food to combat these prices, these food prices. So that's big on the totem pole, food prices. They're not so much concerned about the climate control or climate change and access to food. They're thinking about the prices because they have big families. And so that's one of the things that I'm pushing now. It's like, okay, grow your own food. You can save. You can buy a pack of seeds for $1 and grow thousands of tomatoes, you know, that you can pass to your family, to your uncles, your aunts, and maybe even your neighbors.
Yes. I'm so glad you said that, because I was having a conversation the other day around food costs and who, you know, I have sensitivities towards everyone, but especially those who are with large families and working with a very small, you know, income, according to, you know, the, you know, income levels. I mean, like, very low income levels, large families, you know, kids, like, that's who I think about the most in situations like these. So that actually makes me happy that, you know, some of the work that you've been doing have been with families, and you know, some of those conversations have been brought up, because it's I'm feeding myself, you know, is expensive, but let alone three or four other mouths is can be a real challenge. And so I'm glad that you lifted that up. Do you feel in your heart, and I kind of know this answer, but I just want you to say it, that the work that you're doing with Gardening and Beats is really a stepping stone or a contribution to your community where you are, you know? Do you feel that? Because I know it can be challenging in this space to be shouting out to masses of people, you know, of why this work is important and why you do what you do, but like really feeling the impact, you know? I know it can be a challenge for me, you know, because it's really showcasing what you all are doing. Because, you know, you all are the influencers, right? But I know it can be challenging shouting out to the masses. There's so much chatter. But do you really feel that, you know, you are, you know, making the impact that you feel like that you want to make? And I know there's so much more. There's no limitations at all.
Oh, yeah. At first, I was just doing it for the love. You're like, oh, I love gardening. I want everybody to grow their own food. But then I started getting like all these positive comments, like, you're changing lives. You changed my life. Look at this watermelon that I grew. Look at these tomatoes. Oh my God, I never had a strawberry that came out of my yard. And then I had to sit back and take a step back and was like, I'm changing people's lives. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And that feels good. You know what I'm saying? And then to come from where I've been and then to really do that. And then, like, hopefully my mom is watching me. You know what I'm saying? Because we never really had that conversation. Like, Mom, I did it. You know what I'm saying? I follow your instructions for the very first time, you know, opposed to like when she told me, don't get no credit cards. And I got 20 credit cards, you know, and I maxed them all out. You know what I'm saying? And I wasn't listening. Like, I finally listened to you and you can't be here. So I was like, I'm changing people's lives. You know what I'm saying? I'm tearing up now. I feel like I'm really changing people's lives, you know. And I wouldn't say I'm like the best gardener or the best farmer, but I'm giving you what I know. And what I know is what I know. And I think if you go for what I know, you're going to do well. You know what I'm saying?
You about to make me cry. My eyes are like, my eyes are warding up over here. They are warding up. That is so beautiful. That is so beautiful. I want to just put with Shay. Shay, that's awesome. You say you share a garden with some of your neighbors. I love that so much. That is community. Oh my goodness. My grandmother always tells me, she reminds me of how they used to feed one another in Alabama. Like, no one went hungry. There was, you know, cause you know, y'all, especially us up here, don't you put your fist over my fence or my territory. Don't touch my lemon tree. Don't touch anything. Like, that's how we are. And I get it. But, you know, I love this. And I would love to see more of this, of, you know, people sharing their gardens with their neighbors, especially during times like this, too. Yes. You know, it's just bringing people together, which I still deem a strange times. I don't know about anybody else. I feel it's just really strange. That's just me. But a way to just really pull people together and also feed people who need it. So
yes.
Shay said only the nice ones, right? Because you will not bring your funky attitude over to my garden.
Oh, yeah.
But well, you know what? Show them a love that, with a peach, though.
I'd rather not speak on it, but I do have a neighbor that's not so kind and hasn't been kind to my dogs.
Oh no. Well, they're just missing out.
You don't get no fresh vegetables from me.
They're missing out. You know, maybe they just need some extra love. You know, this world, we need to show some extra love to some folks. That's all. They're missing something. That's what it is. They're missing something. That was beautiful. I'm about to just cry over here. Kamani, you came back from Africa not too long ago. You know what? Before I even go to that, one thing that I missed saying at the start of this episode is that you are a recipient of the Webby Awards, which I definitely, yes, you better show.
Yes. I took it off the mantle just for
yes, for yes. That's awesome. That is awesome. Let's actually speak on that before we go to Africa, even though you're back. Before we go to Africa, let's speak on the Webby Awards. That is amazing. You know, just talking about your impact and, you know, speaking of mom, but being recognized for your work. Let's touch on that real quick. And like, tell folks what the Webby Awards, what the Webby Awards are, a little bit about some background about your contribution and your impact and receiving that.
So prior to the Webbies, I didn't know anything about the Webbies. And it's 26 years. Yeah, and it's 26 years in the game, but the Webbies is like the equivalent to like a Grammy, Oscar or Emmy for the internet. And so some folks told me about it. They said, you should submit. I was like, well, I'm not ready. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like I said, I've always been in television, but always behind the scenes. And one of my good friends said, well, if you're starting this business, you know you got to be out front. You got to put your face out front. You got to be front and center. You just can't hide behind the vegetables. You can't hide behind whatever. So you need to start doing a live or something to get out there. And so I was like, okay, what can I do? In hindsight, somebody was watching me on Clubhouse, and I didn't know they was watching me or listening to me rather. And so they sent me a message and they was like, can you be a guest panelist on my Clubhouse room? And I was like, what? Talking about food insecurities and survival during this pandemic and growing your own food. And I was like, okay, I'll do it. So I was like, and then some more people started asking me and that same week or whatever. So I was like, I'm going to do Black Gardener Talk, and this is going to be me. Black Gardener Talk, and you're going to do a virtual tour with Black Gardener Talk. It's going to be me talking about gardening all kinds of ways. So I got on Clubhouse and YouTube and Facebook and LinkedIn, and because all these people hit me up. And so I was like, okay, this is going to be my virtual talk tour. You know, so I did that, and it was a great feeling. And then, like I said, I was changing lives. And then I was like, I don't want it to be all about me. You know what I'm saying? What else can I do? So I was like, okay, I'm going to take the same concept, Black Gardener Talk, and I'm going to flip it, and I'm going to talk to other gardeners around the world, around the country, that's black and brown. And then I was like, okay, this is it. I got to be in front of the camera. But prior to doing Black Gardener Talk, I decided to do something with music called New Soul Thursdays. And I was like, I can't do it by myself. I got to get a co-host. I can't do it by myself. I can't hold it down. So I end up doing that. And I feel like the first couple lives were awful. Me and the co-host, we listen to it now and we laugh. It was like, we were that bad. We're like, we would be reading from the paper. The world population growth. We wasn't like coming into our own. So this allowed me to actually create my personality, my persona. I always had like, I'm an introvert, but always like when I love something, I become like really open and really full of life. And so Black Gardener Talk was born, and I did like 22 episodes of that, and I did like 39 episodes of the music one. And so the opportunity came with the Webbies. Like I said, I didn't know. Somebody said submit. And I was like, okay, I'm going to submit. And then I was like, no, I'm not ready because it's not good. Then it was the last minute and my friends hit me up. They're like, you know, this is the last day to submit. And I was like, okay, I'm going to submit. And I was like, I better submit because if I don't submit, they're going to be mad. So I did it. Lo and behold, I got nominated and then eventually winning. And I was like, wow. And then so they had two options to win. So you take the overall category that the Academy, as they call, vote on it, or the Viewers' Choice Awards of it. And so I was riling up my friends. I got my school to get involved. And I was like, number one, I was like, yeah, I'm going to win for the Viewers' Choice Awards, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then this company comes. They talk about the ocean and saving the ocean. And they stole my place. They were number one. And I was like, I know I don't have a chance now. And then when they announced the awards, I was, they picked me the overall category. So I took the overall category opposed to the real story. And that just blew my mind. And I was like, wow, I'm really changing. Like I said, really changing people's lives. And I wish my mom could see this now, you know. And now I'm going forward, doing other stuff. I got some things in the pipeline that might put me on national television now. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, there was one thing that you might share with us. I could be wrong about that, that we talked about last week. But, you know, I know you are working on some really great big things. And I will say, there have been a few exclusive things dropped here on the Edible Activist Podcast. So whatever you are willing to share with the audience, please feel free. I like to claim all my bragging rights on this show, right? Where food activist stars are made.
Yes, I love that. And I call myself, I'm a food activist. I that's what I really call myself, you know. Too. I mean, I'm a garden coach, but yeah, that's what, at the end of the day, that's what it is. But one of the exclusive I can say is Amazon Live. I've inked a deal now with Amazon Live where I'll be going Amazon on there live once a month, usually around gardening stuff. So maybe in between when it's not really garden season, maybe I'll do some fun stuff like these are some items that you should get for the holidays or something like that. But or food or recipes, and you know how they have like the food on there. Maybe you can get some different kind of creative spices and stuff like that. But the first one will be soon. I thought I was going to do it last Friday, but I couldn't do it for some other reasons. But yeah, I'll be going live probably this Friday, highlighting all the things for fall gardening. Anything from like greenhouses, small greenhouses, to seeds, to flower pots, to watering systems. And I'm very excited about just having my face on Amazon. And that's going to open me up to even bigger audience and also practice more, you know.
That is so dope, Kamani.
Yeah, I had some. My good friend and his wife, they work in the industry, and they was like, practice, 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 because it's going to be some things for you. That's what they keep telling me.
That's awesome. I just dropped your handle in the chat so folks can go ahead and follow. So you all heard it. Has it been announced anywhere else yet? Have you announced it on your platform yet?
Just a little bit here and there, but okay. I'm on another platform, Black-owned platform called Fanbase, and I'm there every Tuesday night from 9:45 until we just get tired of talking. it's like almost like Clubhouse, but it's called Fanbase. It's a Black-owned social media site. You can monetize your content from day one. And so I'm on there with it's the Gardeners of Fanbase. And so I kind of mentioned that over there. We talked about fall gardening last Tuesday.
Okay, cool, yeah. Cool. Well, this is another space where you heard it, y'all. You know, yep. Kamani will be on Amazon. Yeah, and make sure to follow him. So as he's posting that, check that out. That's super dope, Kamani. I'm super proud of you. I am so glad. And I'm so glad that, you know, larger platforms that aren't even necessarily like associated with this space, though that can be a bit controversial, but I think you guys know what I mean, are not only expanding, like diversifying voices, but also including the gardening, you know, talk into these spaces, which I think is.
It's definitely moving in the right direction. I want to be a trailblazer for that. The easy part is because I know television, so I know what it takes to produce a show or produce a live, and you know how to get guests and how to book guests. So I think that part is the easy part, is like really developing my little quirky personality and making that come out more.
Yes, I love that. I love that. Well, you know, I felt your sentiments earlier when you said, you know, you know, coming out into that virtual space and wanting to hide. But I was doing audio for a very long time, and I'm still like, oh, I want to hide, y'all. I just want to hide. It doesn't make me hard.
Yeah, because I'm always like, I don't like my voice because it doesn't have the African accent, but it has sometimes when I'm speaking, sometimes it comes out. But then I got like this country slang a little bit. And then, like, of course, I'm in Maryland and DC. So I have that too.
And anybody native to this area up here has a little country slang, okay? Yeah. I don't care who says they don't. They do.
Area. Sometimes I'll say area. But it's funny because I wanted to be a I can't think of it. It escapes me, right? A translator. That's there.
Oh, did you? Oh, okay.
I originally wanted to be a translator, and because I do speak multiple languages, and so I wanted to be a translator. And I was like, oh, that's not gonna work. I always had a camera and everything in my hands anyway since I was a baby, so I think that's why I chose television and film. But yeah, I wanted to be a translator. You know, which is crazy.
That's awesome. Ray says she digs your accent. Right.
But then, because I'm still in education, so I have to deal with those young people. You should see me. And they be like, he is hip. He over. He hip.
Listen, what is age? What is that? You know, do you have personality? All right. Are you, yeah. Do you have a vibe? All right. What is age? So Ray Shay, Merlin, yeah, as Merlin. A juggle.
And then they call me, because I mostly worked in DC, they call me a Meezy. So Meezy is somebody that lives in Maryland, but, you know, works in D.C. or act like they're from D.C., but they call them
That's new to me.
Yeah, Meezy's.
All right. Well, we still have some more time, Kamani. I definitely want to touch on. So I had hit up Kamani maybe a couple months ago, and I was like, Kamani, I was like, I want you in the show. We had connected. And he goes, well, I'm going to Africa, you know, to teach some, you know, some gardening classes over there. But let's connect when I get back. And I was like, okay. And so he went to Africa and he's back. And so I want to touch on that, because I know that was incredible. I'm going to hope an incredible experience for you, and just to be able to travel, you know, to a continent, to the motherland, and also to connect there with your agricultural, you know, roots and thumbs and, you know, skill sets, everything over there, and to do what you love. And I know actually a part of what you do too with Gardening and Beats is working a lot with youth as well. So let's touch on that. I want to hear all about that experience. So
the crazy part is of that, it was, I did a stint too in February as well. And so that was crazy how that came about. I guess being in the right time and the right place, and then also being consistent. I'm the type of person, I want to be consistent no matter what. If I say I'm on Fan Base on Tuesday night at 9:45, that's where you're going to see me. You know what I'm saying? And I try not to miss those days. If I say I'm going to do Black Gardener Talk on Saturday at 11 a.m., that's where you're going to see me. You know,
period. Thursday. Period.
Yeah. So consistency, I think, is what made a lot of things happen. And somebody saw me on Facebook, you know what I'm saying? And I had no clue that people was watching me on Facebook, because I got the Facebook banned during election season last year.
So ooh.
I was in, you know, presidential election. I was in jail forever. You know, I never thought
they
they
banned your Facebook account? Come on. You and a lot of other people, okay?
And me so and the bots. I guess it was me and the bots fighting, because they could not be real people.
They're not.
I mean, they probably could have been, but I don't know. So somebody was watching me on there, some garden groups or whatever, and they sent me a DM saying, do you want to go to Africa to teach some people gardening? And I was like, who? What is this? You know what I'm saying? This is a program. And I just did not believe it at first. And I was like, well, if you're really interested, send me a message to my email. That's how
hello.
I do business.
Hello.
You know what I'm saying? I don't
hello.
Do business, do no DMs. You know what I'm saying?
Well, also, you know, just not randomly inviting me to Africa.
Yeah, not randomly inviting me to Africa. So they actually sent it to my own email account. It was like a full spread, like PDFs and all this good stuff. It was really laid out really nice. And they was like, let's schedule a Zoom meeting. And I was like, okay, I'll do it. But I was still, you know, a little skeptical, you know what I'm saying? And then we did the Zoom. It was just me and the coordinator, and her camera was off. I was like, red flag. You know, so I went through it and, you know, and we had a nice conversation and blah blah blah, you know. And so we got off, and then I was like, she started asking me, do I have a passport and all this stuff, and wanted a little bit more private stuff. And I was like, I don't know. You know, she didn't even have her camera on. So when she got off, I Googled the place and found out that it was in Baltimore. And I was like, we going to Baltimore this weekend. And so I got in the car and we went down to Baltimore, and it was real. You know what I'm saying? I was like, let's schedule the next one. And so we scheduled the next one, and the next one was with the person in Africa, in Uganda, who was on a sister. And then it was all these other coordinators in Uganda, and then it was some American people. And the program is called Farmer to Farmer, where they take American citizens, not necessarily know about gardening, but want to know about gardening, and send them over to help the folks over there. And so we did a whole Zoom presentation where she took the sister, what is her name? I can't even think of her name right now. But she took the computer out into the woods, in the forest, and I was on Zoom, and I'm teaching classes on Zoom to people in Uganda, like 5 a.m. in the morning time, and it's like 3 o'clock the next day.
Oh, so you didn't go to Uganda. Well, you were teaching, so you didn't fly out to Uganda?
Not to Uganda.
Oh, okay. Not, sorry, I had that messed up. Okay,
no, that
but
was
still,
in February.
When you went to Uganda?
When I was doing the classes online with Uganda.
Got it.
Then fast forward, they loved it so much, they said, we wanted to send you back. And then that's when I went.
I gotcha. Okay. I know I wasn't crazy. That's awesome. Yeah. Okay. So I went to this virtual to like this real live, like in person whole experience.
So the virtual was because of COVID. So, you know, COVID was still strong then. And they was like, I could sue them if I catch COVID, and so they didn't want to risk it. And so that's the reason why we did the virtual thing. But I was on every day, 5 o'clock in the morning, right before I went to work. It was the next day, they were in the forest. The sister I work with, she was really good. We mapped out this whole curriculum. So I write curriculums now. And so we had these things going on, and she taught from there, and it was a great experience. And then, like I said, they call me back and say, you want to go? We need to get you there in person to really feel it. Went there in June, had a really great time. And now that's I call myself a global garden coach.
I love that. You have been doing some things over the past year and a half, 2 years, Kamani. Just been speeding off for you. That's awesome. Yeah. All right.
And it's just growing and growing. And like I said, part of that was to get that website up. Like I said, I told you earlier, I got that money, but I really didn't put the website up just yet, because I wanted it to be special, and then I wanted to do it. And then I really realized I couldn't really do it. So I was like, let me get somebody to do it. I have the money, and let's build on it. So me and a young lady, I met through another gardener, we connected, and I mapped it all out, and she did the blueprint of it, and I filled in all the rest.
That's awesome. Oh my goodness. All right. Well, we just have a few more moments. So one of my final questions, actually not really my final question. Let's just say I have a number of other questions for you, but I don't have time to ask all of them. So we have to
ask a good one.
What's a good one? None of my questions are good. What's going on here?
No, actually, like a really, really good one. They're all good.
You know what? But if anybody actually who's listening in has any questions, please pop them in the chat. And, you know, if there's anything that you would want Kamani to touch on while we have him here, I'm also going to repost his handle into the chat, because go ahead and find Kamani at Gardening and Beats on Instagram for sure, which I feel like you're most active. But he's also you're active on Facebook, too. So is it the same handle?
Well, so the crazy part of that, so Facebook and Meta, I guess it's Meta now, right? Meta. Metaverse or whatever it is called. They have a Black Creators program that you can get in around like October or November. So I was like, part of that whole thing with the Webby's thing, I was like, oh, I'll try, but I know I'm not ready for it. And so I joined it, and then they announced the people in like February, and then my name was not on the list. So I was like, I'm gonna still tag them. It's called We the Culture. I said, I'm gonna still tag them with like posts on my Instagram. I'm gonna keep on posting them and tagging them. And so from there, I met Khalees, you know, the artist Khalees. Everybody's talking about Khalees and Beyonce and all that stuff. I end up meeting her and talking with her offline about
that's some awesome.
Gardening stuff and some other people. This one guy, he has a Instagram thing called Black Men with Gardens. Early on, I wanted to follow him. He would not follow me back, and I was like, well, screw them. And then he just automatically started following me. And stuff. So now we having conversations and stuff, and we working on some things. And then the Webbies came out, and I got nominated. So I was like, well, I'm gonna tag them. Then I got nominated, you know. And the next thing I know, oh, we found a spot for you. Welcome to We the Culture.
Oh, well, congrats, I guess.
Yeah. And so the baby is like a. It's a program. I'm not one of the top ones, but I'm in the little mix where they train you to know everything about like how to really brand your brand, and from classes. So we do these workshops where sometimes you have to, I had to do one of those lip sync videos. You know how they lip sync the videos on Instagram and TikTok to like a trending sound. Mm-hmm. We have to do stuff like that. We have to talk about your niche. And make sure you cater into your niche. And so this is a series of classes that they put you through. So now I actually bypassed the 10,000 mark on Instagram where I can monetize my reels. And so my reels are monetized now on Facebook and Instagram without having the 10,000 followers because I'm in that program.
Oh, that's and what's so up.
That's why I'm kind of like active now on Facebook, you know. And so I've gotten 3 checks now from Meta, and they're like, I'm not all the way up there, but it's nice. You know what I'm saying? It's nice to see that check come in every month on the 18th of the month.
You better say the specific day, Kamani. I know that's right.
Yeah, so that was really interesting how that came about. But like I said, to go back to just being consistent. I think people need to be more consistent. Sometimes, like I just started a new job, so I haven't been really like posting a lot lately because I want to get in the groove of that. But yeah, once I get in the groove of it, you're going to see more. And then I'm expanding more. Like I said, I'll be on Amazon. My basement is set up like a television studio. I have 4 different sets down here in my basement. Lights, microphones, all kinds of crazy stuff.
All the things.
Color lights going on. I think you can see it. I don't know if you can see it.
I saw it.
Yeah.
So and all kinds of stuff. I have about like maybe 5 more minutes, Kamani. And actually, one of my final questions was actually going to have you touch on, it was really like the path forward, you know, on some other upcoming things that you're working on. So thank you for sharing that. Again, I know there's some other things in the hopper that, you'll be making a much bigger announcement about. But I did want to, there was one question in the chat. Shay had put community gardens ? And I'm going to assume what your question is, are you asking for recommendations on community gardens, like specifically in Prince George's County that Kamani recommends, or were you asking something else, Shay? If you can clarify that or just say yes.
Y'all I can funny. Just speak on it a little bit before, before I got, like I said, being consistent and people seeing me and seeing me on Instagram hiding behind the vegetables and stuff. There was a young lady who hit me up on my personal Instagram. She said the NAAC wants to start a community garden and I want you to be my community garden coordinator and come on out to the community garden in PG County. And so there's tons of community gardens in PG County. You just go to Park and Recs and find out where they are and get in. Sometimes you got to get on the waiting list because a lot of people get into it because they don't have spaces in their backyard or front yards to do it. So, yeah, I got into that and I spent like 2 years with her and teaching young people how to do that. So community gardens are great. This coming September, this is another exclusive. I'm going to be doing something called garden therapy and it's going to be in Montgomery County. And so I'm going to be in the community garden doing therapy sessions really is like speaking about how gardening is great for your mental health. You need to do it. And there's going to be some meditation. There's going to be some music. There's food giveaways from the community, people who grow the food, who has so much food to give away. And so that's going to be coming up. And that's all sponsored by some big organizations in Silver Spring and Montgomery County. So, yeah, Maryland, I'm so excited about that.
Listen, y'all better follow Kamani. I put his website in the chat. I put his handle in the chat, Gardening and Beats. So keep up with what he's doing, because he's doing some really great big things. Kamani, are you going to come back on the show and share more?
Sure, yeah. When we do the garden therapy, I want to come. Maybe you can come do it live. So garden therapy is going to be a couple sessions. And like I said, that's going to be in Montgomery County with a career catchers group who teaches homeless people how to prepare for interviews and different things like that. I've teamed up with them to teach the homeless people how to do gardening.
That's awesome. Yes, yes. Ray, I just want to highlight Ray's comment. Yes, farming has been my saving grace this pandemic. You and a lot of other people, for sure.
Ray, hit me up. Maybe you can be one of my speakers at the garden therapy sessions.
Yes, make it happen. Make it happen. Make it happen.
Yeah, because that's what I'm going to be. The first one will be all about me, of course, because I'm starting it, and how gardening saved my life. Yes. And then I want to add more people into it. And so we can hear those stories, just not my story, but other people's story. Because like I said earlier, I feel like I'm changing lives. And I believe if more people talk about it, it can become the norm like it used to be.
Awesome.
And then Kamani, we wouldn't have that conversation like our parents, our grandparents not teaching us. Now we can teach our children.
More table conversations. Kamani, before we conclude, one edible act that anyone can do right after listening to this show.
Go follow me and then buy some seeds for the fall gardening so you can grow your own kale, your collard greens, and get ready for Thanksgiving. If you start growing it now, you have it ready for Thanksgiving. You can even do potatoes. Still, you can still do some sweet potatoes. What else? Turnips. Rutabagas if you're from the country.
Ooh, yeah, you so know it. Oh, gosh.
Because yes. I love rutabagas. So you can start growing that right now. You can go follow me because I have a partnership with another company called True Leaf Market, and they selling seeds because all the seeds are gone at the big box stores. So you got to find some good quality seeds. And so, yeah, follow me, and then I can give you that link. You can get 30% off.
Kamani is the plug. Kamani is the plug. Kamani, thank you so much for joining me. Thanks for tuning in. You can catch today's episode on iTunes, Spotify, and Simplecast. And be sure to follow us at Food Talks in Color, that's just the letter N, on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And did you know we are on Patreon? This is a way for you to take action and support our mission of amplifying BIPOC voices on the Edible Activist Podcast. Visit patreon.com/foodtalksincolor to learn more. Peace and blessings. And remember, in the great words of Baba Tariq Adunu, there is no culture without agriculture.